This is Thanksgiving Sunday. Some of you will travel and be with family members this week. Some of you will stay here. Many will enjoy a Thanksgiving meal here at the church on Thanksgiving Day. Many will gather for worship on Thanksgiving Eve, where we thank God for a whole year of blessings. Some will have family members come and be with you here. And it's always a joy on this Sunday to see some family members who are here with some of you on this day. For many of us, we think about what we are thankful for. And many of us focus on the past. And we remember all those things which have enriched our lives and for which we are very grateful. For some of us, we also think about the future. Future blessings and opportunities, grateful for what might be yet in our future. But for today, I want us to focus especially on that which the book of Hebrews says, which is the supreme sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That in the framework of that gift and our thanksgiving in faith, we appreciate all the more the past and all the more the future. Let us pray. Loving God, in the siren that we just heard, we ask that you bless those who serve and those who are in need of service. Let your spirit be present there. Be with us this morning, that we might receive from you whatever you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone after the service last Sunday said to me, "Why do you walk around so much? Especially, why do you go up here in the stand in the pulpit and look at the choir?" It's because I'm too short. If I stand here, they can't always see me. If I stand here, I can see every one of them. So occasionally, I have to do that. We are blessed in this church. We are blessed for our worship, our music, our preaching. We are blessed with the fellowship that we have. We are blessed in many ways. And we are, on this Sunday, moving towards the end of the church year. For there's this Sunday, next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, and then we begin a whole new season called Advent, which is a season of anticipation, where we link up with the celebration of Christmas as we think about all those things that are coming. Advent is a special time in the life of the church. We will decorate the church and hang greens and put up Christmas trees and do all those things. It's a festive and joyful time of the year. I encourage you to invite folks to that. We will have a cantata this year also and invite folks for that special time. But as we wrap up the church year, before we begin, it's like New Year's Day begins with the first Sunday of Advent. But as we wrap up, we culminate the teaching reflecting on the life of Christ throughout the year. And the focus today is that we have come full circle in the life of Christ, and we come to an understanding of what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection means. What it means to us, what it means to all of us. Second Peter there's a verse in Second Peter that says simply this, that when we reflect on the teaching of the prophets, then we understand Jesus as the morning star, that light which enlightens our souls and encourages our minds. And then from Hebrews, where we have been studying, that passage which you heard today, that the new covenant, God's relationship with us, is in our hearts and written in our minds. Beyond the covenants of old. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, we have been reading that there were several covenants, agreements between God and people. But with the new covenant, which is referred to as the superior sacrifice, or what I call the ultimate covenant, we come to an understanding that the learnings and the experiences of all that brings us to today. And so I want us on this day to connect with God in a way that gives us an even greater appreciation for the past, as well as an anticipation that with God, with Christ on a spiritual journey with us, the future is optimistic. Let us focus for a moment on that. If we think about God's love, the gift of Christ, the opportunities through the church, fellowship and outreach and serving others, we are moved to a greater appreciation of Thanksgiving. What are you grateful for this year at Thanksgiving time? Just take a moment and think. What are you thankful for? I've shared with you in the past that Thanksgiving Day for me growing up always meant that all my cousins came over to my grandmother's house and all of us cousins got to play football. And my mom would come out and say, "Oh, there's a service at church on Thanksgiving morning," and none of us wanted to go. And she would say, "Well, if you don't have anything for which to be thankful, then you can stay and play football." We went to church. We experienced God, and it just delayed our football game. Parents have a way of doing that, don't they? I am grateful for my family. We are working like crazy to get the house ready. There will be 17 of us. Nicholas's family is coming also. You don't all know my family, do you? I haven't done this in a long time. They told me to never do this again, but one last time, let me ask Hannah, Debbie, Justine, Megan, and Nicholas if you would stand and face the congregation. Hannah, my daughter, Debbie, my wife, Justine, my niece, Megan, my daughter, Nicholas, her boyfriend, and his family and our family are very close. What a joy. What a joy. But I can't help but think that for every family that has moments of joy and gathering and being together, there are those other stories too in our histories that need God. That need God because some of those stories can be painful. My father, was a person who loved family. And being together as family and what we have learned from him was the importance of family and togetherness. My father's mother died when he was about 9 years old. His dad wasn't always around. And so my father remembers as a boy that they would drive up from Ventura County in California where they lived up to the Santa Barbara area. And my father remembers seeing the state orphanage. And he always had a fear that he would end up there. And even later in life, when we would drive up to Santa Barbara, that was a painful place because as a boy, he was afraid that he may have ended up there, and he never did. But that helps me understand a story that I read recently by a man reflecting also on his youth. And he talked about that when his father died, his mother thought that he would need structure in his life, so she sent him to a boarding school. And at the boarding school in those days, the director was of the opinion that, well, let's show the boy the room where he's going to stay and let's have mom leave so that there's not a scene saying goodbye. So when he came out from the room, his mom was gone and he didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye. But he said after his father died, even as a little boy, he felt that it was his job to be strong, that he had to be the man of the family. And the orphanage, the boarding school experience was horrible. The older boys immediately picked on him, made fun of him. And in those first few days of transition, on one occasion, one boy came over when no one else was around and said, okay, let's sit down. Let me help you. You don't leave your clothes out. You have to put your towels away. You have to make your bed. You have to do this. And when the bullies come around, then you simply leave the room. And this other boy coached him on how to survive in the boarding school. And he did. But he told this story, and this is the story I read. One of the things that boy said was, and don't ever talk about your parents' death. Don't ever, because nobody here wants to hear it. Don't ever talk about whichever parent died that is the reason that you're here. And so he never did. But he said there was one occasion where during free time that there were about 10 or so boys that used to walk out of the boarding school and cross the road to a cornfield. And when they would go into the cornfield, oh, several rows deep, where they felt they were safe and secure, and they'd sit in a circle, and one by one, they would tell their stories of their parents who passed away, or whatever the circumstances were that led them to be in this particular boarding school. And he said that this is the only place where they would share openly. And they came to him and they said, okay, what's your story? And he said they all intently listened. And they heard and felt his pain. And he says that when they left the cornfield, heading back to the boarding school, he said he had a sense that these 10 boys were not just roommates, that they had become brothers. They had become brothers. For us, I think, God helps us with situations like that, where we stand there for one another. For some, Thanksgiving reminds us of painful times. For some, today, we are experiencing painful things within our families. For some, the sorrow of loss of life or ill health and so forth. But I want us to remember a couple things from Scripture. The book of Hebrews points back to the book of Psalms, uses a passage which points back to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, there are three chapters that I will refer to. Chapter 19, talk about the preparation of receiving the Mosaic Law. The chapter 20 then gives us the Ten Commandments. And in chapter 21, there's a story that is less known. It's a story of instructions to those who have slaves. Now, in that day, that culture, the slavery was part of life. And with its pain and ups and downs, there was instruction in Exodus about slavery. And there was this one rule for Hebrew people. And why Hebrew people had other people as slaves, I don't understand. But when a Hebrew was a slave, after 6 years of service, on the seventh year, they were released and they were free. And if that slave had acquired a wife during that period of time, then the slave and the wife could go free on the seventh year. But if the slave owner, the master, provided one of the other slaves to be a wife, and I don't know the exact distinctions of the categories, But when one would take a wife in slavery, have children in slavery, then after 7 years, the slave could go, but the wife and kids had to remain. Unless the slave agreed to stay on, and in which case they would take his earlobe and puncture with a nail the earlobe to leave a permanent circle in the earlobe, which indicated that this slave had permanently made the arrangement to stay together with his family. An odd passage, maybe, but one that is used then to point to Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, a passage that points to Jesus, that Jesus, when he was facing the cross, could very easily have said no. He could have walked away. But like that slave who takes the mark on the ear, Jesus took the cross as a way to include us all, his family, as a way to include us all in the body of Christ. And being included, being loved, we can be thankful for that. Let me close with this. One of my favorite prophets in the Bible is Elijah. And maybe I like Elijah because he goes from being very strong to be very weak, very strong to be very weak. And maybe we can relate to Elijah because sometimes we feel close to God and sometimes we don't. Elijah, after serving the Lord and standing up to the prophets of Baal, which were false prophets, he then felt his own life threatened and he felt depressed and he felt down. And he said, Lord, just take my life. I can't do this anymore. And the Lord came to Elijah, reminding him of the greatness of God. And being reminded of the greatness of God, Elijah was encouraged and went back to serving the Lord. He left that time of despair. Let us, during these days of Thanksgiving, remember the greatness of God. Remember the covenants. Remember the relationship that God says to us, I will be your God, you will be my people, you will be forgiven. And in the words of the scripture that I read a little while ago, your sins will be remembered no more. Your sins will be remembered no more. God gives us forgiveness. God gives us peace. God gives us joy. God puts us back on our feet when we're down, and God says, your past, I will help you celebrate. Your future, I will celebrate. The pain in your life, I will walk with you. Let us truly celebrate, for we have a lot to be thankful for this year. Amen.